Take your Bibles this morning as we turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, part 2 this morning of This is the Truth of the Gospel. This is the Truth of the Gospel. Let's pray and ask God's help and direction. Father, we thank you this morning for your leading already in the service. We give you all the praise. We see your hand at work. We see your orchestration. We have experienced your blessing. We pray now as we turn to the Scriptures that you might thrill our hearts with the truth that is there, the truth that is in our hearts. And we ask that you would build us in the faith this morning. We ask that you would empower us by thy grace and thy power and thy Spirit to be outstanding ambassadors for Christ in these days. We ask that you would take this time to put another building block onto our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be strong out there in society, strong in the workplace, that we will be wise, that we will have your wisdom, and have the precise thoughts and concepts and words at all times. May our antennas be up. May they be tuned in to you. And we ask that you'd use us mightily in these days. We believe that your coming back is not far away. We anticipate that. We look forward to that. More people are talking about that. And we do pray that you would come back and take us from here. Father, we do pray in the meantime, as we wait and as we look for that to happen, that you would help us to be strong, that you would help us not to cave, not to give in. Bind that wicked devil and his tactics, and may we be strong in the Lord and in the Scriptures. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for this message today, as I trust and depend in you to bring it, not in myself. I'm trusting in you. Empower me, fill me to bring the message of the hour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the truth of the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Last week as we began, we got through our first point in our topic here. This is the truth of the gospel. And these truths in these two verses have got to penetrate our hearts. They've got to become a part of us so that we can go out there and be the citizens of heaven that we need to be. And in our first point, we ask the question, who or what are you relying upon for your right standing with God? And we looked at that from verse number 15. And as we concluded that point, we answered that question. Who or what are we relying upon for our right standing with God? And it is Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone. There are no works involved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He has saved us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not works, faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest we run around running our mouth talking about all the good things that we have done. And there are those that do that. Now, secondly, this morning, as we continue our second point and question, are you convinced that Christ's death on the cross is the only reliable basis of your right standing before God? And for that, we are looking at verse number 16 and the first part, 16a. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. As we have said before, we have the gospel here in these verses. If all you had was this, you can preach, and you can witness, and you can talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them to the point where they understand that they need to trust Jesus as their Savior. Now, the problem with the law is it does not save us, it condemns us. The works, the doing, is not getting us in the front gate of heaven. Now, I don't care how good a talker you might be. It's not happening. When we stand before Jesus, we're not going up against some novice. We're not going up against someone who doesn't know his stuff. We're talking about standing before God Himself, and we're not going to talk our way in there. It is a faith issue. It is not a works issue. It is not a law issue. The law teaches us that we are sinners. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, we find that, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Sin is the schoolmaster that teaches you that your works are not good enough, and you cannot do it, and you can't keep it, and you never will, even though you are saved. You cannot do that. The law teaches us that we are sinners. The law says, "Thou shalt not," and we go out and we do it. The law does not justify, it condemns. We cannot keep it. We cannot even keep the Ten Commandments. We cannot even keep the Ten Commandments for one day. We will violate the law. So here in the first half of verse number 16, Paul contrasts the two major bases for our justification. Number one is the law, and number two is faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Hebrews 10 and verse 4 teaches us that the blood of bulls and goats are not going to cut it to pay for our sin. We can kill every sheep we find in this county and shed its blood all over the place. It's not going to cut it. It is not. Works are not going to do it. The law cannot deal with our problem of sin. It can merely show us how sinful we are. There's only one way to effectively deal with the problem of sin. There is one way and one way only, and that is the death of our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Because the perfect Lamb's blood was the only blood that works. There is none other blood available that will do it. The hymn writer attests to this fact. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Everything else is just a band-aid. We are hemorrhaging everywhere inside. We are full of sin. Let's look at that first part of that verse again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ, we are justified. We are declared righteous. Justified, meaning that we are declared right before God. It is Jesus who justifies us with His blood. God has effected a change in the situation between sinful humanity and God, by which God is able to acquit and vindicate believers, setting them in a right and faithful relationship to Himself. He does that, we don't do it. Justification is the favorable verdict. We're in court now. The favorable verdict of God, the righteous judge. That one who formerly stood condemned now has been granted a new status at the bar of divine justice, acquitted. Seen as though you have never sinned. And only God can do that. We cannot work that up. I share with you this morning the Heidelberg Catechism question number 60. Question 60 says, how are you righteous before God? Listen carefully to this awesome answer. Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. In spite of the fact that my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and have not kept any one of them, and that I am still ever prone to all that is evil, nevertheless, God, without any merit of my own, out of pure grace, grants me the benefits of the perfect expiation of Christ, imputing to me His righteousness and holiness as if I had never committed a single sin or had ever been sinful, having fulfilled myself all the obedience which Christ has carried out for me, if only I accept such favor with a trusting heart. That's good. That is really good. Back in the old days, they had all that stuff memorized. That'll keep you straight. Justification declares we are righteous. We call this our standing in Christ. This is how we stand in Him. He sees us as if we have never sinned. It is the verdict that has come down from heaven. We have been acquitted of all sin and have been declared righteous before our holy God by faith. Not by going out and doing this and that and the other and working my tail off and spending 2 years on a bicycle and knocking on doors and going and doing this and counting beads and all that stuff. That's not how it's done. It's by faith alone. Now, there are those that take that to an extreme in the wrong direction, and they say, well, now I have liberty in Christ to do whatever I want. You know, I'm saved, I'm in, I'm declared righteous. Doesn't matter what I do. I can just ask Him for forgiveness, and I can just go do it over and over. Oh, sorry. There's a word called accountability. Accountability. And we are accountable. We are not released from accountability, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Now we're going to call the deeds of the flesh, the way we live our lives, that is our state. That is what we do in our lives. Our standing before Christ is holy and righteous, declared righteous as if we've never sinned. But the state of our affairs is how we're living our life. And we're accountable. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 11 to 15. First Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We sing that song, when we all get to heaven. What a day that's going to be. And when we get there, our works are going to be tossed into the fire, and the heat's going to come out, and all of the great things that you have done for Jesus with the right heart attitude and the right motivation and done in His name and for Him, gold, silver, precious stones. But all the selfishness, all the backbiting, all the nasty words, all the criticism, burned. There's nothing. You want to know something? You are in control of what you walk away with from the judgment seat of Christ. You have the ability to lay up, as I like to say, those gold bricks. All I was going to bring them out here and do it, but you lay up those bricks. You gave that tract out. You know, took that meal over. Everything you do for Jesus. Gold bricks, lining them up, and they're getting higher, and they're getting higher. But if we backbite and we do things that aren't right and we're working against the Lord and against His church and against God's people, it's going to be nothing there. Nothing. You're in charge. Your salvation is sure because you're justified and declared righteous. But God's not automatically going to build your pile of gold, silver, and precious stones. That's up to you. What are you going to do? How are you going to build? And we're all making that choice every day and every second that we live. Purity for the Lord means something. Living a pure Christian life. And it's something we really need to work at doing. Now, this doctrine of justification just irritated these Judaizers. They just did not like this because they wanted to make obedience to the law the prerequisite for salvation. And they are trying to hoodwink and coerce and twist people's arms that you've got to obey the law. It's part of your salvation. They didn't get it. They just didn't get it. No, I am saved to serve. I am not saved to have to work to be saved. They just did not get that. And here's a great story, and Matt Barfield used this very story in one of his messages when he was here, I think the last time. Years ago, back before the days of warranties, a wealthy Englishman purchased a Rolls Royce, took it on his vacation to the south of France, where it broke down. He wired back to the factory. The company flew a mechanic long before flying was commonplace to the south of France to diagnose the problem. After doing so, he flew back to the factory, picked up the part he needed, flew back to the south of France, repaired the car, and sent the customer on his way. The man expected to get this huge bill, but time passed and no bill came. He finally wrote a letter to the Rolls-Royce factory thanking them for the excellent service that they had given him when his car broke down and asked them, "Please send me my bill. After all, I got the money to pay for this bill. I want to pay it." He received a letter from the company reading, "Dear Sir, we have no record of anything ever having gone wrong with your car." Now, that's what you get when you're justified. There is no record that anything was ever done wrong in your life. That is your standing in Jesus Christ. That is being declared righteous. That is the doctrine of justification. And we need to know that doctrine and know it well. That's what justification is. Just as if I'd never sinned. God has no record of anything having gone wrong in your life. Therefore, the answer is, the position of the Jewish Christian and ours is, the law and works cannot save us. Everyone is on the same ground. Christ's death on the cross is the only reliable basis of our right standing before God. We are declared righteous by God. Our third point and question today is, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your right standing before God? Back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the second half. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now follow Paul's teaching here. The only provision that counts is the faithfulness of God's Son unto death. He says, Paul says, we have believed in Jesus Christ in order that we will be justified by faith in Christ, by His blood sacrifice provision. There is no provision in the law. That's what he is saying here. So we don't rely upon the law with its works. We run to Jesus for salvation. We run to Jesus for salvation from sin. We run to Jesus to get away from being condemned. We run to Jesus. There's nowhere else to go. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, not any works that we can do. See, that's power. Believing in Jesus is not a head knowledge. There are lots of people in this country who will say, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know where they're a Christian? Right here. Not here. Not in their heart. They know a few things. They know a couple facts. It's a head knowledge. It is not a heart knowledge. Believing in Jesus is not a head knowledge. It is a continuing life of trusting Him for everything. That is our faith. We came to Jesus in faith and we continue in faith. We don't lose that. That's what the Judaizers were all about. Now, what is confusing is the people who say that they believe in Jesus, that they trust in Jesus, yet there's very little evidence in their lives that they're actually trusting in Jesus, that they're actually relying upon Him, that they're actually clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ. That causes confusion because we're not seeing the change of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a new life. It's a new way of living. It's a continued new way of living. The call of the gospel has always been the same. Trusting in Christ alone. And thank God for the reformers who got that straight and ended those hundreds of years of unbelief. And we sit here this morning as a result of folks who got their nose in the Bible and studied the Bible and saw the truth in the Bible. Wow! What a surprise, huh? No, that's how it's done. You know, you can give anybody on this planet a Bible in their language and stick them in a room, and if they'll sit there and read that Bible, they're going to get saved. It's the power of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are so many folks out there who will testify that it was after they sat and read the Bible that they got saved. It is the Word is power. Trusting Christ alone. Now, the problem a lot of folks have is they try and finish their Christian life a different way than the way they started it. No, salvation is a continuing faith experience. It's a continuing trusting in God experience. It's a continuing dependence on God experience and not on myself or my works. People who start to want to add works to their life, they're adding something to their salvation. The Scripture is consistent. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's the Scripture proof that salvation is a continuing experience of faith, trust, and dependence. And that's what happens when people really get saved and they don't just have this head knowledge that they know a few facts about the Bible. Salvation is a change in the life that continues. And it is a powerful change, and it is a powerful continuance if people will just go after it and be faithful to the Lord. Then your pilgrimage becomes exciting. And as was talked about earlier, the sufferings of life we are understood as a part of this experience. Right now, this morning, my good friend, my pastor friend in Florida, in Clearwater, Florida, Jack Hobson, is lying on a bed in a hospice center. And he is in excruciating pain. And his wife is just going crazy about this and called my dad and was on the phone for an hour this week. They predicted he would be gone to glory on Tuesday. And as of yesterday, he was still here. And people will say, "Why, God? What's the matter with you? How comes you're doing this to him?" Listen, this has been the experience of countless millions of God's children. It is called the sufferings of Christ, and we partake of those. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you're suffering, you know what that is? That's an assurance that your name is written down in glory. Now, I'm not, and I know you're not asking for suffering. We're not asking for that to be going on in our lives. But we've got to get it stuck in our brains and our hearts that that is a part of the Christian life. And that when that happens, something is not wrong with us, and we have not committed some atrocious sin. We are partaking of the sufferings of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the good news of the gospel is shocking to many people. They say, and you've probably heard this, that's too easy. That's too simple. It can't be. Probably everybody in here has heard that from somebody. Listen, the good news of the gospel is shocking. And it is so shocking that most people think that they have to add something to it. Because that's too easy. No. In Christ alone is shocking good news. That's the way we see it. In Christ alone is shocking good news. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it all. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's ultimately not about us. It is about God's provision in Jesus Christ. It is His blood. It is His righteousness which is applied to your life and to your soul. In Christ alone, we are justified, declared righteous by faith in Christ alone. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning for this powerful truth of the gospel. Thank You, Father, for all those who are here today who have been saved by faith. We know where they're headed. Father, we ask this morning if anybody is here and does not know Christ as their Savior, that this will be the day when they are declared righteous. When they know for sure that they are going to heaven and not to hell. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask this question. Are you here today without Jesus? Do you know in your own heart you have not been declared righteous, you are not saved, but you say, I want to be saved today? If that's you, would you just put your hand up a little bit that I can see it? No one's looking around. It's just between you and God. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? If you're not, do you want to today? Do you want to be saved today? For us who believe the gospel, are you living the way you should be today? Is Jesus first? Are you all excited to get up and serve God every day? If not, you need to be. You need to make that choice, that decision, that determination. I hope in your heart right now that you will do that as I pray. Father, we thank You and we commit the results of this hour to You. Father, we thank You for our salvation. Lord, help us to be sold out to You totally. Help us to live for You. Lord, help people to know that we're sold out to You and living for You. And may our words and our deeds and our message be always appropriate and pleasing in Thy sight, that those around us will come to know Jesus as their Savior too. Come to church, and be a part of us, and grow in the Lord, and go out and get other people into the fold. We just thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in our hearts and lives today, and we give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Do a great work in our midst as we seek to serve You in these days. Give You praise, give You thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.